Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, I want to read the first 10 verses. I'm going to come back and zero in on just a couple of verses as we go through the message, but I trust God will use it to speak to your heart today. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Now I want you to pay attention to the next three verses. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Father, will you help me to preach today, O Lord? Father, would you open my heart? Lord, I want to be a blessing to these dear people today. Lord, my desire is to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Maybe there's a soul here today, Lord, that's never been saved, never been born again. God, would you call them out unto yourself today? Would you regenerate and stir that heart and save that individual? Maybe there's Christians here, Lord, that are just cold and indifferent. Maybe the age in which we live has worn them out. God, it can do that to us. But God, would you refresh us through the Word of God today? Lord, would you bless our time together? Would you aid this preacher? Would you give him the anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach the Word of God today with truth and authority? And we ask it, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring a message this morning on two words. The word commitment and the word surrender. Commitment and surrender. You don't hear much about surrender anymore. I remember when I was a little boy and preachers would preach, they would preach upon a life that was surrendered to Christ. Will you surrender your life? My most favorite generation is the World War II generation. I think, out of many respects, that that is one of the greatest generations that God has ever raised up on the planet. They knew what it was to sacrifice and to fully give of themselves. And what I'm so impressed about that generation is that many of those men, when they came back from World War II, gave their life to Christian service and surrendered all that they had, went back to school, got their degrees, and they would go to serve the Lord on mission fields or places of service and build churches and would give their heart to Christ. I'm thankful for that generation. Now, it was not a perfect generation for sure, but it was a generation that I believe that had tremendous backbone and knew what it was to completely surrender to a cause. David says, is there not a cause? And we hear a lot today about the word commitment. Now, I want to be very careful this morning because commitment is a good word. It's a good word in the Bible. Matter of fact, we're going to find it mentioned 169 times in the Word of God. We need to commit our lives to Christ for sure. But I don't want to deal with commitment today. I want to deal with surrender. And a lot of times when you study words, when a new word or comes into vogue or a word, maybe it's not a new word, but a word that comes into vogue or back into vogue, the other word that was used quite often will lose its meaning. It will kind of be discarded and put off to the side. Well, we hear a lot about commitment to the Lord today, but we hear very little about surrender to Jesus Christ. And the words are two different words. They have two different meanings. And I think we need to take some time and look at that this morning and spend some time in thought and meditation on this word commitment and this word surrender. Now, what is it to commit? What is it to commit? Well, to commit means to give in trust. It means to put in the hands or the powers of another. In the Latin, it means to put into custody. That's what the word commit or commitment means, to yield to another or to give in trust. But when we come to this word surrender, it's a stronger word. I believe it has a deeper meaning. When we look at the word surrender, it means to yield to the power of another. Literally, we can give it this meaning. I'm going to wave the white flag. I'm going to yield to your authority. I'm going to yield to what you desire and what you ask. I am going to capitulate completely to your heart. It means to resign in favor of another. We may be committed to Christ, and we need to be as Christians, but it is a whole nother thing to be surrendered to Jesus Christ, completely yielded to His desire and to His will for our life. Let's take this word surrender for just a second and break it down a little bit. S-U-R, sir, it's a prefix. It means super, above, and beyond. Let's take rend, R-E-N-D. The word rend means to separate with force or violence, to rend it, to tear it. We take this word render, we put the E-R to it, and we find that it means to give back or to hand over. So surrender is me yielding completely and fully to another. Now we're talking about this morning in the respect of being surrendered to Jesus Christ. Here's another striking difference between the word commitment and the word surrender. Commitment is something that I do. I commit. But when I commit to something, oftentimes there's stipulation. Oftentimes I can take back that commitment. Commitment is really in my power. Commitment is something that I choose to do. And here again, I want to be very careful this morning. The word is a good word. It's a Bible word. But I wonder if our life is truly surrendered to the Lord. For you see, when I surrender myself completely to Christ, I lay down all my rights, my privileges, my desires, my complete life. And that's what the Lord desires of us, to be surrendered to Him. Now, that brings us to our text in Luke 7. Here is this centurion, and this centurion has a sick servant. But I want to talk about the centurion for just a second. A centurion, he was over 100+ men. And he understood what it was to be under authority. And he also understood what it was to have others under his authority. And folks, we are never going to be able to serve God as He desires us to serve Him until we are able to understand putting ourselves under the authority of God. I appreciated the Sunday school lesson this morning so much. It is so appropriate for the day and age in which we live. And what is going on is nobody wants to be under authority. Don't you tell me what I can and cannot do, even down to our children. Nobody wants to be under authority. And yet this dear centurion, he understood what it was to be under authority. He understood the rank and authority of another. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says to the Lord, "For I also am a man set under authority." That word "set under" in the Greek means arranged, orderly. This centurion knew what it was to be set in rank. He knew that over him were his commanders, were his authorities, and he had to give an answer to them. He had to yield to them. He had to surrender with what they desired of him. And you know, folks, it's that way in the military. When you have been trained in the military, you've been prepared so that when you are in the battle and your officer gives you a command, you don't look at him and scratch your head and begin to question him, but you move forward with the command. You are prepared to surrender and do whatever needs to be done. As children of God, we need to learn to do the same thing. I think one of the greatest needs in Christianity today is for us to know our God. One problem with Christians today is we don't know "Thus saith the Lord." We don't know what God's Word says. We don't know God's view on things. And I talk to people who profess to be Christians all the time, and here's what they say to me. "Well, you know, preacher, I believe God thinks like this," or "I believe God would have me to do this." And I'm thinking, what do you mean? I honestly become frustrated with that. And I will say to them, you don't have to think. You don't have to wonder. God's Word makes this very clear. Let's see what God's Word says about it. Or here's a good one. Let's go pray about it, preacher. I tell my people a lot of times, there's a lot of things we don't need to pray about. All we have to do is go to God's Word and obey it. We don't have to pray it. Now, we might need to say, "God, help me to obey." But we don't need to pray. We know it's not what God would have. Or sometimes we're ignorant to God's Word. And folks, let me tell you something. Being ignorant to God's Word is not bliss. We will be accountable. We have been preaching through the offerings in the book of Leviticus at home. And we've come to the sin offering, the sin of ignorance. But if you study it out, there's going to be two or three verses there that brings to light that a sin of ignorance is going to be known to us. God is going to make known, this is sin. If you do it and you don't realize it, but God will teach you, God will show you. You have to be under the authority. You have to hear the law. You have to obey God's Word. And for us to be able to obey, we must be surrendered to the Lord. I look at Jesus Christ, our Savior. Oh, how He was surrendered to the Father, even to do the will of God unto death. And that just so moves my heart. Every time I think about it, Psalm 22 is one of my most favorite passages. I love Psalm 22. It gives us the picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it talks about bringing Him to the dust of death. And He was willing to surrender all for you and I. And are we surrendered today? And this centurion, he understood what it was to be under authority. And he says, "For I also am a man set under authority, and having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh," and so on. He understood what it was to be surrendered and to be under the authority. And folks, listen to me. And here again, this I think is a great problem in Christianity today. And when I speak of Christianity this morning, I'm not talking about the institutional church. I'm talking about churches that you and I would call good, fundamental churches. I'm deeply burdened what I see going on in so-called fundamental churches today. my heart breaks. I grieve. And folks, we will never know the power of God in our lives until we learn to surrender to the Lord. We wonder why we struggle. We wonder why we don't have victory over sin. We wonder why we can't have victory over the flesh, because we don't know the power of God in our lives. Now listen, folks, this preacher is not talking about sinless perfection, and he's not talking about being perfect. You come and spend some time with me, or you don't even have to spend time with me. You ask my dear wife, and she can tell you real quick, he's far, far from perfect. And she can tell you some things, I'm sure, bless her heart. But folks, I want to serve God with all of my heart, and I want to be surrendered. And it is a battle, day in and day out. I will not lie to you about it. I'm not here to paint you some beautiful picture that says you can serve God 100%, surrendered, and never fail. Not on this side of eternity, it will not happen. There is the battle of the flesh, and the flesh refuses to die easy. And the flesh will rise up. But we must learn to be under the authority of God that we might have the power of God in our lives. And we do need to have the power of God in our lives. And you see, husbands have not learned to surrender to the authority of God. And that's why our homes in America are in a shambles. I don't blame the women. I blame the husbands, because they are the authority. Husbands, they want to run out and do everything else. But God has never relinquished our authority to the wife. Now, the wife helps for sure. Years ago, when our children were young, we worked. I worked. My wife stayed home, and she taught our children. But I was still the authority under God. She was the weaker vessel. I love that phrase in Peter when he talks about the wife being the weaker vessel. You know what that means? That means I'm just a weak vessel. She's just weaker. And we both need to serve God. We need to walk with God. We need to call upon God. We need to depend upon God, because we're both weak vessels. Wives have not learned to surrender to the authority of the husband according to Scripture. Children have not surrendered to the authority of parents. And we have the same problem in churches. Church members don't want to surrender to the authority that God has placed over them. We have the same problem in the workplace and in society. We don't want to submit to the authority. And parents, let me tell you something this morning. If you go home today and you have pastor for lunch, then your little children are sitting there. That's the philosophy they're going to get at home. I believe with all of my heart that our children get their philosophy at home. You can send them to a Christian school, and I thank God for a Christian school. Our children went to a Christian school. My wife was a Christian school teacher. You can be in church every time the doors are open, and you are to be here. But let me tell you something. This man, your assistant pastor, these teachers, they are tools. They are not to raise your children. They are to support you. They are tools to help implement what you are seeking to accomplish at home. And if you don't teach your children at home to be under the authority by example, your children are going to be rebellious children. And the problem is, we're often, all of us are rebellious. And folks, we don't think about it. Matter of fact, we smirk and laugh at rebellion today. We make light of rebellion today. But I want you to understand something. We are never more like the devil than we are when we are rebellious. Because he rebelled against God. And we think rebellion is funny. We think kids that don't obey their parents are funny and cute. You're raising a little devil. Now, I'm just as sorry as I can say it, and I don't want to be offensive, and I don't want to hurt you. But it's not funny. It's not cute. And dads, when you speak, they need to move. Mom, when you speak, they need to move. And if they don't, then you need to deal with it. And you know what, Mom and Dad? We need to move at the Word of God. We need to be surrendered. We need to be given to the Lord. And this word surrender will lead us to another word in Scripture. And it's that word servant. We find it in the Greek, doulos. And it's translated servant. But you know what, folks? That's really a light translation. That's a softer term. What the word doulos really means is a bond slave. A bond slave. And a bond slave was one who, whatever the master said and however the master said it, he responded immediately. He yielded to it. You go to the book of Psalms, and what does it talk about? How the maiden will watch the hand of the mistress, and whatever so desires, she's ready to move. And this is the way we need to be to our Lord. And listen, Paul and others in the Scripture said that they were bond servants. And a slave has no rights. They're under the control of the authority, the master. Now, folks, we find that reprehensible today in the age in which we live. You mean to tell me I'm not going to be in control of my life? You know what, dear people? And I still struggle with it. But I every time I try to be in control of my life, I mess it up. I look back over my life and I think, oh God, how different some things would be if I had simply surrendered and obeyed. Now thank God he's merciful and gracious. And he certainly has been to this man right here. And he has taken mercy on me, and he has given me his grace, and he has been so long-suffering with me, and he has been patient with me. And I'm thankful for that. He loves me. And you know what, folks? And I've got so much I want to say and so little time to say it in. But I'm glad God loves us. And it takes us a while to understand that, I think, through Scripture. How in the world can God love me? I don't know. Only by His grace. His marvelous and wonderful mercy. His tenderness. I think, God, why don't you just kill me and get me out of the way? I've been a hindrance so often. But he's been patient, and he's brought me along, and he's blessed me, and he's encouraged me, and he's helped me to grow in grace. And you know what, folks? He's teaching me to surrender little by little. And the process seems to be so slow sometimes. But I want my life to be surrendered to the Lord. I want to be a bond servant, a bond slave. And young people, listen, to us or to you, that seems so foreign, because we're afraid if we surrender our life to Christ that he may take us and put us in deep, dark Africa. He may take us and put us in some place that is so desolate and out of the way. And you know what, folks? He might. That may be God's will for your life. But you know what, young people? If you would surrender your heart to Christ, wherever God took you, do you know that you would be with your Lord? He would be ever guiding and protecting and watching over you. You know, I used to tell my children, my wife and I have prayed about it. I love my kids. And now I have 3 grandchildren, and I'm so thankful for them. My son lives 2 or 3 minutes from us. My daughter lives about 2 hours. And I'm thankful that they live close and we can see them. And they serve God. But you know what, folks? I'd rather my son be in the deepest, darkest part of Africa serving Christ than living 3 minutes from my home out of the will of God. And I mean that. I had rather my daughter be in Siberia serving God and she be out of the will of the Lord for her life, or she be rebellious. And I mean it. We prayed. When our children were small, we were praying for their mates. We wanted our children surrendered to the Lord. We wanted our children to give their lives to Christ. And Barbara realized, and I realized, that we had to be surrendered parents to the Lord. And we wanted to be His servants, His bond slave, to yield our lives to Him. And we need to be surrendered today. And to surrender to the Lord what blessings it brings. Listen, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, and there's something that we need to realize, folks. When the Lord saved us, we became His prized possession, His trophy of grace. We are not our own. Oh, how we need to give ourselves completely to the Lord. For we were purchased not with silver and gold, but we were purchased with the blood of Christ. Now we need to think about that. Do you ever meditate about that? Do you ever just muse upon the fact that God purchased with the blood of His own Son? I think about Calvary sometimes. You know, folks, we ought to think about Calvary every day, because it was there at Calvary my sins were judged in Jesus Christ. It should have been me. But there Jesus Christ paid the sacrifice. There He paid the debt for me. And He bought me and He purchased me with His own blood. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Manifest the Lord. Reveal the Lord. Be a witness to the Lord. You know, do you want to glorify God today? You want to glorify God, then live for Him. Surrender your life and be obedient. And you know what, folks? God may not call you to a mission field. God may not call you to be a preacher. God may call you to be an usher. God may call you to be a Sunday school teacher. God may call you to help and encourage the pastor and the staff here. God's calling for you may be that you are a prayer warrior. And you want to surrender in whatever the Lord calls you to do, and to do it well. In our church, we have about 6 widows. I thank God for those dear ladies. I believe it is the prayers of those dear ladies that keep the work at Pine Street going. I believe it's the prayers of those dear women that keeps their pastor moving forward. I believe it's the prayers of those dear women that brings God's protection upon me and my dear wife. I believe that in glory, God is going to reveal what He has done through those dear saints. I am so proud of them. I love them. I think of them this morning even as I preach. And I know they prayed for their pastor here in Florida today. And if God has called you to be a warrior, maybe you are a widow. Maybe you are a widower. God still can use you. God desires to use you. You've been bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servant of men. Who are you serving today? Who are you surrendered to today? I love what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. And you know what, folks? I'm glad that I wasn't bought with money. Because things that are bought with money lose its value. Look at the world in which we live today. I think of people who have worked and worked and worked and saved and scrimped because they were thinking when they got to retirement age, they were going to kick back and enjoy the rest of their life. And I'm finding some of those have lost all that they had, and they're having to continue to work. It wasn't like they thought it was going to be. And you know why? It was temporal. It was vanity. It was empty. Oh, it looked good on paper. But when the stock market took a nosedive, that's all it was a worthless piece of paper. Our dollar is as weak as it has ever been. The car industry, the number one industry in America, who would have ever thought, is worth pennies, literally on paper, today. I'm glad that I was bought with the blood of Christ. It will never lose its value. It is eternal and not temporal. And folks, why in the world can we not see the value in the eternal? The value in spiritual things. Oh, how we need to surrender our hearts to Christ. Let me move on. Our time is gone. Now, you might say, preacher, oh, that's good and well. But is it not, do you think a fully surrendered life to Jesus Christ is attainable? Isn't it just a hopeful wish? And I tell you 10,000 times, it is attainable. Not through me, but through Him. We can live surrendered lives to our Lord. We can yield our life to Him. We can wave, as it were, the white flag and say, Lord, here I am. Take me. You might think, well, preacher, there's not much to me. You know what, folks? I understand. I'm right there with you. Really, I know. And I don't have time to go through that with you, but I know. But I can tell you, God can use you, and God will use you. And God wants you to be the clay in His hand, and He will mold and make the vessel. Why don't we stop trying to make the vessel? I had to learn a long time ago, you need to get your hands off the clay and let God do it. Oh, how we struggle sometimes, folks. How we struggle. And our desires, Lord, we want to serve. But our faith is weak. And we feel like we've got to help God out. Folks, God don't need any help. You know what God needs from you and me? A surrendered vessel. Here I am, Lord. Take me and use me however you see fit. I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing. I'm willing to give you all that I have. And here again, folks, as I preach this message, I think, Lord, have I surrendered my life as I should? Have I waved the white flag? It is a progression from glory unto glory, little bit by little bit, line upon line, precept upon precept, yielding and serving and surrendering to Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I can't surrender. I'm not surrendered because I don't even know the Lord that you spoke about this morning. Maybe you've been church for years and years, but you've never trusted Christ to save you. We need to inventory our lives and see whether we're in the faith or not. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christian. You say, preacher, I know the Lord saved me, but my life has not been surrendered. I've been selfish. I've wanted what I've wanted, the way I wanted it, and then I've committed some things to God. I've committed to tithe. I've committed to be faithful to church. I've committed to do those things, but I've not fully surrendered my life to completely serve the Lord. I've got these little areas over here, these little places in my heart where I won't allow God to come in. Well, then let me tell you something. You need to open those doors and let the Lord in. Maybe there's sin. There's known sin in your life. You need to confess it, forsake it, get it under the blood, and serve and surrender yourself to the Lord. I don't know the need of your heart this morning, and I don't know how God can use the message in your life, but I trust that He will use it and that we will surrender. And that when the Lord comes by taking us either in death or we hear the trump of the Lord, the shout of the archangel, we can say, hallelujah, I'm surrendered. my Lord has come for me. I think Christians are fearful of the rapture. Do I want Christ to come and find me doing what I'm doing? That's a bad testimony, folks. Listen, we are to be listening for the trump right now. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.